The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We've got more rookie talk today on Fantasy Football Today. We've got rookie superlatives, rankings, debates, etc. Plus some pretty big news, and reporters have been speculating on workloads and things of that nature, so we'll react to what the writers have been saying. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg on the Mother's Day-o-meter. How was your Mother's Day? 0 to 10, Dave?
It was excellent. My wife was out of town, so I got in a really good really? Bike ride on Sunday morning. When that was done, I hit the pool, FaceTime with my mom, Sarah Lynn Richard. How you doing, Mom? Don't forget about Sarah Lynn Richard, amazing author, children's books, as well as crime mystery novels where people die. But those two things actually aren't combined together. And then I picked up my wife from the airport. We went to dinner. My steak was undercooked twice. We didn't go for dessert after. It was a great Mother's Day.
Jeez. So you didn't give it a number?
10.
Oh, 10. Okay. Jamie, 0 to 10.
Did you take the kids with her?
One of them.
Okay.
All right. Boys, nice. Boys day, boys weekend?
It would have been boys weekend, but the boy has a girlfriend, and so the girlfriend trumps dad.
Yeah.
As far as like hierarchy of who to hang out with.
Yeah.
Especially when mom's out of town.
Makes sense. Jamie, 0 to 10. How was Mother's Day?
It was a 10, I guess. Well, no, I'll say it was an 8. Because my oldest son, who's 10, had two basketball games on Mother's Day, which was just unfortunate scheduling. But his first game, I think I told you this last night, Adam, before we did F15-5, he had probably scored, and it's, you know, there's fourth grade basketball, so he had probably scored 40 points in the 8 games in the regular season, and our scores probably averaged like 18 points a game, you know, so put that in perspective. We were the 2 seed, and so we played the 7 seed in the first round of the playoffs, and he went for 16 points of our 34. So hey, it was
beast,
it was fun. He said
mode.
Before the game, he's like, "Hey, let's win this one for our moms."
Oh, that's nice.
So that was cool. We unfortunately, the reason I say it was an 8 because we lost in the semi, so that was frustrating. So that was fun, and I think my wife had a good day. Hope so.
All right. Well, that is the Mother's Day-o-meter.
How was yours?
It was fine. It was like a 6, and but I did. Okay, rank these 3 ice creams, then we'll move on to our topics. I bought 3 ice cream Poppy. Flavors.
This is just straight up ice cream flavors.
Yeah, yeah. 3 ice cream flavors I bought yesterday, and you know, for the Mother's Day.
Why do I feel like pralines will be one
no,
of these?
No, no. These are legit.
He's going to go vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry.
One was Oreo Bomb, which is essentially cookies and cream. Mint chocolate chip. And then the third one is called Cookie Monster. It is vanilla ice cream with blue food coloring and Chips Ahoy cookie in there. So Oreo Bomb, mint chocolate chip, and Cookie Monster.
I'll go Oreo Bomb.
I will rank them in the order you listed them.
I'll go Oreo Bomb, mint chocolate chip, and Cookie Monster.
Okay. After we ate them, I still couldn't rank them. They were all so good, I couldn't tell which one was my favorite. I think Oreo Bomb was the best. All right, anyway.
Which one did your kids eat the most?
My daughter is obsessed with blue, so she had Cookie Monster the most.
Yeah.
And Andrew had the Oreo Bomb.
Good luck with those blue poops.
They're all contained in a diaper. So, all right, anyway, let's get into our fantasy superlatives. And listen, if you were watching and listening last week, you heard that we were going to have a special guest. So we're waiting for him. Don't know where he is. When he gets here, we're just going to destroy him for being late. It's going to be really fun. Hopefully he gets here. Hopefully we'll have our special guest at some point. Fantasy superlatives, yearbook style. Most likely to succeed. Most likely to succeed, Dave.
Breece Hall is the most likely to succeed.
Jamie, agreed?
Yeah. To be different, though, I will say Drake London.
Okay. But it's Breece Hall, you know, for the most part. That's fine. It usually most likely to succeed. It goes to the good-looking, popular athlete, whatever. I don't know. I really know what Breece Hall looks like, but it's an easy call. It's an easy call is what I'm saying.
He is supremely confident as well.
Good.
He was on set with us for the combine, and I think I told the story with Ryan Wilson. I kind of threw Ryan under the bus when I said to see what his response would be. That hey, Ryan
and to just make Ryan feel bad.
As I didn't intend for Ryan to feel bad, and Ryan handled himself well. But I said Ryan has you as his number two running back in the class behind Ken Walker, and he kind of gave him the stare, and he said, There are two great running backs in this class, and I am not the second one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was very good throwing a colleague under the bus, though. Like, very, very clever. I did not know that Breece Hall was Roger Craig's cousin. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's according to Wikipedia.
That's a good little factoid.
All right. Next superlative. Most likely to be overdrafted.
Whenever you're related to somebody who's famous, it means you're going to be great as well.
in the same field, right? Yeah, anyway, most likely to be overdrafted.
I'll say Ken Walker.
We're talking redraft?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not Dynasty, by the way. This is all redraft. Yeah.
As of now, I predict it's Jameson Williams.
I was going to go with Sky Moore. And that's not just based on what Schneier did, taking him as the first wide receiver last week for, you know, bleeps and giggles. I'm not sure. I don't know. Let's all talk about our selections. Jamie, Ken Walker, most overdrafted.
I think, you know, he's the second running back. I mean, there's a pretty clear distinction of this group. And, you know, it's those two guys, Hall and Walker, and then, you know, probably Damian Pierce, but we'll see how everything shakes out. And I'm going to guess he's going to go somewhere in the back end of the RB2 range, early flex range. And if Rashad Penny stays healthy, it's going to be tough for Ken Walker to be the guy that we hope he can be. Now, clearly we're banking on a guy to stay healthy who has never stayed healthy. But the fact that, you know, if Chris Carson, you know, it depends on when we do these drafts, obviously, but if Chris Carson plays, then you're talking about three guys competing for touches in an offense that could be terrible if the quarterback situation is bad. So I think he's going to be the second rookie drafted, and in that case, he's going to be overdrafted if he's not the lead guy by far.
So I'm looking at Ken Walker's NFC ADP since May 1st, which is only four drafts. Take that for what it's worth. He went 79th overall. He was RB 26. He went after Travis Etienne, but way after Travis Etienne in terms of within the running backs, only two running backs after Etienne, but almost 30 picks. A.J. Dillon, then Ken Walker, then Chase Edmonds, then Damian Harris. But 79th overall. What's that?
That's when he should go right now.
79th? I was surprised that, you know, like RB26 is one thing, but I'm surprised that RB26, I guess, was 79th overall when RB24 was 53rd overall in these drafts. But again, it's only four drafts. All right, Dave, you said Jameson Williams.
All he has to do to be great this year is make a speedy and healthy recovery from a torn ACL suffered in January and connect on lots of targets deep from Jared Goff in the Detroit Lions' run preferred offense. That's it. Should do that, right? That should be easy. Not easy. I'm being a jerk. I'm worried that he won't be ready for the start of the year. People are going to need that bench spot, unless you can stash him. Depends on what your league rules are. And if you can stash him, great. But even if he does come back, call it October 15th, that means he didn't participate fully in any training camp. He's got to work his way back in. He's never played at the NFL level before. We don't know if his speed and his acceleration will be instant like it was in college. We know that Jared Goff is a little shy about throwing deep. I don't think that Jameson Williams will have a good rookie year for fantasy purposes. Maybe toward the end of the year, but not over the course of a season. And when I see people drafting him in a single-digit round, I get a little nervous about that. I think that's too soon. And I'm not sure where his NFC ADP is. Those drafters are typically pretty smart. So in the four drafts, I'm sure you know, Adam, where he's been going. And I hope it's in round 10, round 11.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's round 11. It's 100 and, well, it's all right, almost round 12. Maybe it's round 12, round 11, round 12. 132nd, 133rd overall, right after Rondale Moore, right after Alan Lazard, just before Kenny Golladay. Would you take Kenny Golladay or Jameson
Williams? Lazard is going that late? Now, that's, I'd rather have Lazard than Jameson Williams, easily.
Would you rather have Golladay or Jameson Williams?
Depends on what my team looks like.
I don't really want Golladay. I guess I would take him. I guess I would take him out of Jameson Williams, but I'm not really loving it.
My pick was Sky Moore. He's going as wide receiver 42, 104th overall. He's going after, I mean, this is, you know, Tyler Lockett is the pick right before him. And then Chase Claypool, Garrett Wilson, Robert Woods, Chris Olave. Yeah, I mean, I guess 104th is makes sense, but I don't know. I just feel like he's not going to be second on the team in targets. I think that'll be Juju. And I could see him having a good late season surge. I don't know that he's going to pay off. Sky Moore is going to pay off early. I feel like he and MVS will be sort of competing. And we talked about this. I think people's expectations. And what's that?
And Hardman still too.
Yeah, right. Of course. I just think people's expectations will be a little bit too high for Sky Moore.
And hopefully Justin Ross too.
Right. But if Sky Moore
has a hamstring injury too.
If Sky Moore is the 42nd wide receiver off the board and not a top 100 pick, then it's hard to say he's overdrafted at that point.
Well, I think, you know, just again, what your expectations are. He's going to be the guy that you drop for, I forget the running back you dropped Justin Jefferson for?
Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber. And then yeah. You regret it. Yeah. You got to be patient with some of these guys.
All right. Most likely to have a huge finish. Most likely to have a huge finish. Which rookie?
We just said one, yours, right?
Sky Moore. I wouldn't say most likely, but I'd say if he has a big year, it would probably be in that way. Not a consistent week one or, you know, early season, but a big finish, like an Ayuk kind of deal. But what do you guys think? Most likely to have a huge finish.
I'll go Christian Watson. Similar thinking with Sky Moore. That takes a little while to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, but once they realize what they have and you start to see the flaws, you know, you're asking guys like Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb to stay healthy for a full season. That's probably difficult. And Alan Lazard to maintain his role as the number one guy. You know, so if Rodgers is right and still putting up MVP type production, I think Christian Watson at the end of the season will start to play like the guy they hope and hopefully the guy we hope as well.
Dave,
put me down for Garrett Wilson.
Sorry.
I think Garrett Wilson struggles at first. Remember, a lot of mouths to feed in that Jets offense. And then he pulls what Elijah Moore did last year. He starts to put it together in the second half of the year. Maybe Zach Wilson sees his production and efficiency step up in the second half of the year too. And this whole Jets offense does take that step forward. I call it a week before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Most likely to lead rookie running backs in receptions. Most likely to lead rookie running backs in receptions.
No. I mean, I feel like this one's easy.
James Cook?
Yeah.
Jamie?
I'll be different. I'll say Pierre Strong, you know, based on the comments coming out of New England this weekend from at least Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots and really good job covering the Patriots. You know, if James White's not ready to go and maybe doesn't play a majority of the season, sounds like Pierre Strong's going to be their third down back. And so could be a dark horse candidate there. As you brought up yesterday, Adam, the first two games, James White had 12 catches.
Yep.
With Mac Jones. And so, you know, maybe that's a role that they're envisioning for him if James White can't go. So a good opportunity potentially on the table.
Most likely to lead rookie wide receivers in receptions.
Comes down to two guys for me. It's either Burks or London. I think Burks has the better chance to catch more passes than London.
I'll go dark horse candidate and say David Bell with the Browns. Knowing what this receiving core looks like. No,
wow.
Seriously.
Wow, okay.
You know, no Jarvis Landry. And they're going to play Bell in the slot. You know, and I mean, you'll see some shot plays to Donovan Peoples-Jones, and obviously Amari Cooper is going to have the chance to be fantastic. But if Watson doesn't miss the majority of the season with a, you know, huge suspension, the slot receiver for the Browns could be pretty significant. So I don't think he's going to have a huge fantasy season, but it wouldn't be surprising if he's, you know, if he plays to a big level, you know, 70, 75 catches could be the leader of this category.
Okay. Yeah, all right. That makes a lot of sense, I guess, and didn't really consider that. Good
that
stuff.
That is a Rich Strike dark horse pick right there.
There you go.
Did you watch?
No.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm not cool. 70 years old.
Oh, come on. I didn't ask you if you wore one of those dumb hats. I just asked if you watched. You don't have to get that into it. Anyway, most likely to succeed was Breece Hall. Honorable mention, Drake London. Most likely to be overdrafted, Dave said Jameson Williams. Jamie said Ken Walker. Most likely to have a huge finish, Garrett Wilson for Dave, Christian Watson for Jamie. Most likely to lead rookie running backs in receptions, James Cook. Jamie went with the dark horse, Pierre Strong. Most likely to lead rookie wide receivers in receptions, Dave said Treylon Burks. Jamie was a little different and said David Bell.
I'll give you another one, especially with this report I'm sort of going to talk about. Chris Olave.
Yeah.
If Michael Thomas misses time again, I mean, he's just set up to be the number one guy there.
That's what I thought you. That's where I thought you were going. All right, you can listen to Fantasy Football Today on your smart speakers. Simply say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Or, hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Very, very easy. More and more ways to listen. Do you guys think our guest will show up? We're 15 minutes in. He's 30 minutes late. Now
he's sleeping, unless he just checked in right now and you're trying to...
celebrating George Kirby.
No, he didn't. He did not check in with me. He's celebrating George Kirby. Okay. Let's go to a segment called Our Guest Talks Rookies. No, let's postpone that one and do our news and notes and start with the Michael Thomas news. So he still has some hurdles to clear in his recovery from the ankle surgery. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it because it's not like they were ruling him out for anything, for training camp or anything like that. But, man, it's been a while, and he's still not 100%. So, Dave, react. Michael Thomas still not there.
I'm good with he needs to clear a few hurdles because it's May, and training camp doesn't open for basically almost 3 months. So as long as he's there for the start of training camp, I'm going to be fine with Michael Thomas. I'm not changing how I'm ranking him right now. I'm not changing how I'm ranking Chris Olave either. I think they can both be usable in fantasy, but Thomas is a number two fantasy wide receiver. He will still be that unless we get closer to training camp. And I'm talking like, you know, middle of July and there are still hurdles to clear. Then I'm going to get a little skittish. But yeah, he's still number two wide receiver. Olave, good bench receiver, PPR. He's a little stronger than that. I'm not sweating.
Not sweating. All right. Jamie, you sweating?
He's coughing.
No, but like I told you last night, you know, I think that group of receivers for me, and I'm looking just at the draft right now, what we did, because I took Thomas in the third round. And it's that group of this is the way that it went. It's a draft we'll review later this week if you didn't watch the live stream on Tuesday. It was Thomas, then Deontay Johnson, then Amari Cooper, then DK Metcalf, DJ Moore, Brandon Cooks. And I took Thomas and Cooks. After Cooks, it was a long wait until Jalen Waddle and Terry McLaurin. So, you know, should he be at the top of that group? That's where I felt he was prior to this news. You know, after this news, you know, Cooper's got flaws, obviously, with the situation going on with Watson. If Watson's not suspended, I would take Cooper over Thomas. Brandon Cooks, you know, you kind of know what you're getting in Brandon Cooks. He's going to surprise us every year. Still continue to put up good production, but there's clearly a little bit of risk and some more mouths to feed in the Texans offense. Deontay Johnson, new quarterback, you know, so they're all kind of, you know, flawed to an extent, huge upside as well. And so it's just a matter of, you know, which receiver do you feel the most comfortable with? If Thomas is fine by training camp, he will still be my favorite of that group. But if this is something that's going to linger once again, then you got to continue just, you know, we'll see where the slide ends. You know, I still think he's going to be drafted as number two receiver. It's just a matter of, will he be at the top of that, you know, 15 to 30 group essentially, or will he be somewhere in the middle of it?
So what's the difference between Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins? Forgetting about the suspension, just taking a look at like the overall age. He's 29. They're both 29, right? Or is Hopkins 30?
Hopkins will be 30, I believe, in June.
Okay, so he's a year older because Michael Thomas just turned 29. But maybe it's because we didn't... Well, I mean, he went 7 games without a touchdown in 2020. So there was that. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you, Jamie, in particular, are a little concerned about DeAndre Hopkins falling off the cliff here. And that was even before the suspension. You know, why is Michael Thomas not in that category for you?
Well, I mean, their games are a little different, but it's certainly a fair point. You know, I mean, Hopkins is an outside receiver that's going to have to, you know, win contested catches with what speed he has left. And if he's not getting separation and you're talking about a small quarterback having to spread targets out to what should be a little bit more diverse receiving core, that's a little bit tougher. With the Saints, it's kind of been concentrated. Now you have, you know, Olave stepping in. It's at least on paper, I would think, you know, since Brandon Cooks has left, the most talented receiver that Michael Thomas will share the field with. And so, you know, that's something to factor in. But I think Thomas as a slot receiver, based on the possessions that he'll get, the targets that he'll get, the opportunities that he'll get, I feel a little bit more comfortable with him. But it's based on the expectation that he's falling off from his record-breaking season, you know, a few years ago prior to this ankle problem, to still being maybe 80% of that, which is still a very good receiver, still a very good number two receiver, in my opinion. Hopkins, I just wonder where he's at right now overall, you know, losing target share, being so touchdown dependent, having the injury concerns from a year ago, age becoming a problem. Mm-hmm. What did he take the supplements for? You know, was it to help him recover to get back on the field, or was it help him to get back to being, you know, a star level player? I just don't know.
Dave, it does make me more excited to draft Chris Olave, who, you know, there's this this report that a lot of NFL people think he's the most NFL ready wide receiver. And I think sure. I think that makes sense. He's a really good route runner. He's not as explosive as Jameson Williams and Garrett Wilson, but he ran a faster 40 than Garrett Wilson, but he's just like this polished kind of mature receiver. And I don't know. You got to look at Thomas as a little bit of a risk now. I don't know if you have to, but you could. Does this move Chris Olave up your draft board?
No, not yet. Again, you have to wait till July for something like that to happen. If you're doing best ball drafts right now, though, I think there might be a good value here for Olave. And if people are passing on Thomas because of this report, then there's going to be a good value on Thomas in those best ball drafts. But it's not enough to like go sign up for a ton of best ball drafts right now and try and take advantage of the current market, because I just don't know how much the market's really reacting to this. But I do think that Olave is NFL ready. I love his instant acceleration. I do not like his lack of physicality. I do not like that he can't break tackles. But I do think he's in a good spot in New Orleans, where he can pick up a lot of 15-plus yard air yard targets and be productive for fantasy, maybe even on the level of a number three receiver.
Okay, enough on that topic. Let's go to our second bit of bad news. As ESPN's Jeff Legwald wrote a story about the Broncos and how they are going to stick with their running back by committee, and he expects Javonte Williams to get slightly more carries this season. He said Javonte Williams is expected to get slightly more carries this season, which I interpret a little bit differently than him saying, I expect Javonte Williams to get more carries. So, well, slightly more carries. But anyway... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It almost felt like it was sourced or something. But the expectation is Javonte Williams gets slightly more carries. But he made it very clear that they like Melvin Gordon, and he's going to have a role and a similar role. So, Dave, you were still, even after the signing, you were still the high guy on Javonte Williams. You thought second round, he shouldn't make it to the third round. How do you feel now?
I think he should probably get a little closer to the third round. And I think it was buried in the story on ESPN, but a quote from Nathaniel Hackett, I found it actually, I had it open on my browser. I'm one of those guys that doesn't close browsers on his laptop. Here's the quote. This is what stood out to me. This is from Nathaniel Hackett. I just look at all throughout my past, you need to have a stable of running backs. You want to hand the ball off. That's what protects the quarterback. That's what helps the play pass. That's what helps the threat of being able to go downfield. You have two guys like that, and then you throw Boone in there. That's another changeup guy. It's a really good group. Whoever's hot, that's who we want to feed. That's kind of the beauty of it. So obviously I didn't expect Nathaniel Hackett to give some sort of declaration saying, yes, Javonte's our guy, and we signed Melvin Gordon because he's good for locker room morale or just in case something happens to Javonte Williams. But you can't think of it as, all right, Javonte's going to take this big step forward, clearly more talented than Melvin Gordon. The Broncos will see it. You can't make that assumption anymore. And then you look at the track record of who Nathaniel Hackett used. He's used multiple running backs pretty much each of the 4 years that he's been a play caller, except one. And that's when he had Leonard Fournette as a rookie running back in Jacksonville. And there was really no one else in Jacksonville that they really liked. But by the second year of Fournette's career, he was broken down. They were using multiple running backs. Maybe that's something that Hackett learned from. And then you see what happened in Green Bay last year. That's something that might have just emboldened Hackett even more to use multiple running backs. So using this news and applying it to the best ball conversation that I just had, I don't think people are overdrafting Javonte Williams as a top 15 or maybe not even a top 20 guy anymore in those best ball leagues. His value has fallen, but I think it's an appropriate fall. Melvin Gordon's value, has it ticked up? Is he worth taking in a best ball in round 8 or round 9? I say absolutely. Because if he's going to get work each week, it could look like 10 touches per week. It's not great, but in the best ball, he'll have 4 or 5 weeks where he comes through for you.
So NFC ADP has Javonte Williams as the 10th overall pick, the 6th running back off the board.
Is that since May 1st?
Since May 1st. Again,
in those four drafts. I completely disagree with that.
Yeah. So where would you take him?
Totally.
Now? Where would you take
total
him?
Total read.
Where would you take him, Dave?
It's going to be late round 2, early round 3 for me.
That's where he went in the draft that we did last Tuesday. He was the 3rd pick of round 3, just after Nick Chubb, just before Aaron Jones. So would you, Jamie, would you rather have James Conner or Javonte Williams?
James Conner.
Would you rather have Ken Walker or Melvin Gordon?
That's a good one. Probably Ken Walker right now, but I could see myself changing that, especially if Carson's healthy.
All right, next note. ESPN's Mike Rothstein thinks that the Falcons could use Cordarrelle Patterson more at wide receiver than running back this season. And he also thinks that Tyler Algier, the rookie running back out of BYU, could be the early downs back. It's a 5th-round pick. You don't see a ton of good rookies in the 5th round, but he's got the opportunity. In 2021, in case you're curious, Patterson played 294 snaps out of the backfield and 162 out of either the slot or out wide. So a lot more at running back. 294 snaps out of the backfield, 162 out wide or in the slot. So, I don't know. You know what? I don't need you to react to that, I guess, but no, it's a rookie running back show. Jamie, Tyler Algier, what do you think? Should he be drafted ahead of Cordarrelle Patterson?
Not yet, but we may get closer to that, especially if this, you know, starts to play itself out in training camp. You know, I mean, when you look at Patterson.
Look at this. Look who's here. There he is. Hey, our special guest is here interrupting our Cordarrelle Patterson conversation. What's up, Gretch?
He is a jack of all trades, so he should fit right in.
That's right. Ben Gretch is here. Nobody even knew it was Ben Gretch, and there he is. Just strolling up.
Did you do the same thing as last time where you tried to like make it a big secret?
Oh, yeah. Big secret. Huge secret.
But I look at Jamie's face. He's shocked.
Welcome.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
What's up, Ben?
I know you're a little late. Yeah, it wasn't your fault. You drinking coffee there?
I'm drinking coffee. I'm waking up out here, Pacific time zone. Slept in a little bit. Missed my start time here with you guys. I'm off on my own now. I'm not corporate anymore. I don't have to stay up. I don't have to get up as early to meet you guys.
Yeah, that's all right. Better late than never. We appreciate it. I have segments just for you, so this show will be a lot more full. All right, you know what? Enough of Jamie. So, Ben, are you going to draft Falcons rookie running back Tyler Algier or veteran running receiver Cordarrelle Patterson first? Which Falcon would you rather have?
That's a good question. I mean, usually with me, it's always the rookie, right? But Patterson got those high value touches that I love last year, right? Got the downfield passing a little bit more than more than you see from any receiver. The fact that he's actually running routes and catching passes down the field. So a really unique profile there that I have to respect. I mean, probably still going to be interested in the rookie, but Patterson's the one from a touch value perspective that I like more.
Okay. Let's go to our next news item here. Pete Carroll says that Ken Walker has a ways to go as a pass blocker and that it will be a wait and see to see whether or not Walker becomes the 3rd down back. Dave, I interpret that as he's probably not going to be the 3rd down back, at least as of now, Ken Walker. You agree? Oh, no. Again?
Just me?
Dave, you there? What happened here?
I'm here.
Did you hear my
question?
What
do you think happened?
Oh, man.
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
Who are you?
I'm going to boot Dave and we're going to see if we can get that back. Jamie.
As you can see, Ben, nothing's changed.
Would you interpret that as Ken Walker is probably not going to be the 3rd down back?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to have to take him proving, which I think he can, that he can, catch the ball in the backfield. But clearly, when you're pass blocking for the great Drew Lock or Geno Smith, you have to protect that franchise entity. So, it's important, but clearly that's a huge part of what you have to do as a player at that position. But he could still be the first and second down guy, and that's going to be important in this offense that's going to try and run the ball as much as they can. As we said, even the show, you know, if Rashad Penny and Chris Carson are healthy, it's going to be a very messy situation. If Carson doesn't make the team because he's not ready to go and Penny does what he typically does, Ken Walker's going to be in a great spot.
And the Browns, as Jamie alluded to earlier, are unlikely to re-sign Jarvis Landry, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And before we
you don't ask the Seattle guy about Ken Walker?
Oh, yeah. How you feel about that?
Not great. Not great for the Seahawks. No, I like Walker a lot, but I think the Seahawks definitely needed to take a shot at a QB in this draft, and they decided not to do that. So it's going to be a fun year. I have a tough time with Walker and not how bad I expect the offense to be, obviously.
Yeah.
What will change for you with the entire offense if it's Baker?
I mean, I think he gives you a more competent level of play. So for 2022, for fantasy, that's fine. For, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, I think it's kind of a, you know, a problem of a stopgap decision. But for fantasy, definitely, I still think they're going to run. They would be bringing in Baker to be using him as a play-action quarterback like he's done so well. So, I mean, I'd probably be interested in Walker at that point for the reasons you said. I mean, Carson and Penny might not be healthy. And then if you have a competent quarterback and you can actually – move the ball and score points, then Walker can get some touchdowns and it could be all right, but not really in love with his situation right now.
Yeah. We don't ask Ben about the Seahawks. We ask Ben about AJ Brown. As Richard says, interested to hear Ben's take on AJ Brown. So let's get Ben's take on AJ Brown, the Eagle. What do you think?
I mean, do you actually need my take on AJ Brown? Obviously, making whatever excuse I can to be super excited about this. And that includes finding out that AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts are best buds. They go to Disneyland together. AJ Brown's the godfather of, or excuse me, Jalen Hurts is the godfather of AJ Brown's daughter. And then just deciding that that is all the reason I need to draft.
Fantasy relevant.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's, I mean, you guys know that I love AJ Brown, so I didn't need much more than that.
Well, is he better for fantasy on the Eagles or the Titans? Is this better or worse for his fantasy value or the same?
I mean, I don't know that better or worse really matters that much. I don't think it's worse is sort of the way that I'll put it. I think the Eagles have a possibility of throwing more. I compared it to the Diggs trade right after it happened, and I was thinking I wasn't happy about Diggs in Minnesota, and I thought, you know, oh, great, Buffalo's another bad spot. Buffalo winds up being really pass-heavy. The Eagles are actually coming out. They're investing in the pass catchers now, right? They've taken Devonta Smith and traded for A.J. Brown with a big package two off-seasons in a row. It's very similar to what the Bills did to surround Josh Allen. It would not surprise me if Philly went pass-heavy. They were somewhat pass-heavy early last year. Then they had a stretch where they were extremely run-heavy for like six or eight games in a row. And kind of throughout the rest of the year, but for like six or eight games, it was extreme. Like when you look at the pass rate over expectation stat, there are more than 10 percentage points below expectation for a long stretch every single week. You never see anything like that. Very, very extreme on a weekly basis. I think they have to pass more. And there's this possibility that I actually think they might go towards Buffalo, like extreme passing with the way they've invested in the receiving core. They're still going to have, you know, plenty of running as well, and Hurts is still going to scramble, but I think it can be better than Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee ever could have gotten that great for AJ Brown. So similar, but with maybe more upside, actually.
Okay. All right, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the rookies with Ben Gretsch. If we have time, we'll read your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562 314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We are back, and we are hoping to get Dave back. He's working his way back to us, babe. All right, Ben, how you been, man? How's life?
Good, man. Just kind of little. It's allergy season for me up here, so a little bit allergenic. I mentioned my daughter just got a normal little cold, so I woke up, fell back asleep. I feel bad. I missed my start time. I did that a couple times with you guys when you had these like 6:30 start times for my time. And you guys are obviously out on the East Coast, but
I think they were 5:30 for you. I think we started at 8:30.
That's right. We did do 5:30 for a while.
This was easy though. This was a 7 o'clock start time.
I know. It should have been easy. doing good. How are you guys? How's life out there?
Oh yeah, it's fine. You know,
everything's great.
Yeah, everything's normal, right?
We miss you.
I miss you guys too.
So let's see. We have some questions from the crowd, and we'll just do this one real quick. Who starts, Gino or Drew?
Who cares?
And where was one?
I think Gino starts.
There was a one. What about you and Sky Moore? Do you have an interesting take or a different take on Sky Moore?
Did you guys have a negative take on Sky Moore? Because I have an effusively positive take on Sky Moore.
Oh yeah, no, I said that he's the most likely to be overdrafted. I think people are just
That's fair. He's gotten very, very popular, but has a really good production profile. First small school non-early declare wide receiver to go in the first or second round since Devontae Adams. So we usually see those guys not declare early and stay the 4 years. And that's actually been something that's shown to be pretty predictive in models, that when these guys are declaring early, usually it's because they're getting an indication from NFL teams that like they're going to go high in the draft. It doesn't happen for small school guys often, and then they get drafted really high. It did for Sky Moore. So the league seemed to like him. The Chiefs end up getting him, which is just the perfect landing spot. They need wide receivers, and obviously you have Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to be very excited about Sky Moore. He's a guy that I want. I mean, I'm probably going to take him in close to every single dynasty league just because you can get him later in the first round in these rookie drafts, and I think he's like right there with these top guys.
Mm-hmm. I think dynasty, I would not say he'll be overdrafted necessarily, but I wonder in redraft, do you think, would you take him over, say, Chris Olave? Or tell me what, I was going to ask you to rank your top five running backs and wide receivers. You want to start with that? Can you rank your top five? Let's start with wide receiver since we're on it. Give me your top five.
Redraft.
Redraft.
I've been in dynasty mode, but I'll still take Traylon over London. And for me, it's Traylon and London are one and two in one way, and it's like its own tier. And especially for redraft, I think they both come into these great target situations. I'll still take Burks over London. I will go with Garrett Wilson 3. I still really like his profile and like the landing spot. Jameson Williams is a little tougher with the injury for redraft. I'll take Sky 4.
Okay.
And over Jameson, Olave, I think 5, or else Christian Watson. I'm not in love with Olave. Olave might be 5. He'd be in that range.
Okay. So Burks, London, Garrett Wilson, Sky Moore, and then someone else at 5, whether it's Jameson Williams or Olave or Christian Watson. Jamie, Any strong reaction there, or you want to move on to running backs?
No, I agree with the top two. I have London slightly ahead of Burks, but I agree with Ben. You know, they're in a tier by themselves. And by the time we get to, you know, training camp, you know, probably Robert Woods is going to be the one that sways it for me, you know, because he's the most competent receiver. Obviously, Pitts, you know, clearly a different player. I think London may get slight better targets in his offense than Burks does in his. If Woods is right, if Woods is not right, then I'll probably shift to Burks. I would put Olave 3rd, just based on his opportunity, especially now with Michael Thomas's injury is still lingering. 4th for me would be Sky Moore, and then 5th would be probably Christian Watson over Jameson, just because I'm not sure where his health is at.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, how about your top five rookie running backs?
Breece Hall is a pretty easy one.
Wilson will be five for me. I apologize.
Wilson, okay.
Who would be five?
Garrett Wilson. I left him out.
Oh. Breece Hall, number one, for sure. I'll still take Kenneth Walker, two. For redraft, definitely taking James Cook, three, and Rashad White, four. But I really like Rashad White. He's going to be a handcuff that I'm going to have in redraft, whether or not I'm taking Fournette, just somebody to target, because if anything were to happen to Fournette, White's got that size-speed combo. We've already seen Vaughn kind of not do it, and White's got the pass catching with that size-speed combo. He's got that three-down profile that, I mean, he's the rookie running back that I really love in sort of the early second round of rookie drafts and in the double-digit rounds of redraft this year. And then my fifth guy... probably Algier. I guess I'm looking a little bit too dynasty focused because I'm not even putting Damian Pierce on this list, and he's probably the one that has the most early down high snap potential, even including Breece potentially. I mean, that's how bad the Texans are, but I just don't think he's particularly good. But I guess he probably has to be in there somewhere if you're just doing it purely as redraft. But you got to have Breece and Kenneth in there. I think James Cook belongs in the top five. And like I said, I think White's a really nice handcuff, even though he's not going to project to be a player that plays a whole lot. So they would all be in my top five as well. And then it's Algier or Damian Pierce, both of whom are going to have early opportunity.
Okay. Jamie, any reaction? Again, it was Breece Hall, Ken Walker, James Cook, Rashad White, and Tyler Algier. And Rashad White, purely a handcuff. But man, I mean, you could see the potential if Leonard Fournette gets injured, which he often does. You know, he would not necessarily have to beat out tough competition to have a major role there. And then Algier five, also Damian Pierce in the mix there. Any strong reaction, Jamie?
No, I mean, the first two are obvious. You know, I think I'd be surprised if anybody says anything different than Hall and Walker, and probably Hall is a significant lead over Walker right now, unless again, the Seahawks backfield changes by the time we get to August. I would actually put Pierce third, you know, just for redraft purposes, because of everything Ben said. You know, his path to playing time is pretty clear. I'll put Algier fourth and then James Cook fifth. But, you know, James Cook is just so fascinating because his offense is awesome. His role could be awesome. We just haven't seen it necessarily, particularly with the Bills and, you know, using a pass catching running back. But I mean, they've tipped their hand as much as anybody, you know, with the JD McKissick signing and then losing him. And then even Duke Johnson, you know, what he typically has profiled as, you know, in the early part of his career as a pass catching back, and now going out and getting James Cook, trading up to get James Cook, you know, so they want to have something in that someone in that role. And he's clearly that guy. So, I mean, Rashad Wright's right there. You know, I think TDP, Tyrion Davis Price, is interesting, you know, because of San Francisco and not having the same leading rusher year after year after year, you know, and now they go and get another guy in the third round. He's interesting as well. But for me, you know, Pierce is the third one just based on his chance to play. And I disagree. He is a good running back.
Would you draft, Ben, DeAndre Hopkins or your favorite rookie wide receiver? In this case, it would be Treylon Burks.
Probably the rookie. I mean, especially Hopkins. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm still waking up. But Hopkins has
six
suspension,
games.
Right?
Yeah, six-game suspension. Yeah.
Then definitely the rookie. But, I mean, multiple rookies.
Okay.
Well, the only reason not to take a rookie that high is that they take a little bit of time to build up. But
exactly.
If my alternative isn't playing, then I might as well hope that he hits week one like Jamar Chase did, you know?
Sure.
It feels like with the top two guys in terms of Burks and London, like they're going to force feed them the chance to be good. You know,
yeah.
So you bank on that. The other guys you can certainly make an argument for, you know, Wilson sharing the field with, you know, Elijah Moore and Corey Davis and trusting Zach Wilson and Olave, if Michael Thomas is healthy, and, you know, Jameson Williams not being ready. You know, there's a lot of flaws with once you start getting past the other two guys. So by week seven, you know, Hopkins could step in and be better than them easily. But the other two, you know, if things break right, you know, the target share for London and the target share for Burks could just be amazing.
Ben, are there any under the radar guys you like? You made a nice case for Rashad White, but what any under the radar guys?
I guess most under the radar guy that I love is Romeo Dubs, with the Packers, because I think Christian Watson, kind of a questionable profile, was old. I was talking about earlier to Claire, you want to be younger entering the NFL. He was older from a smaller school, wasn't really productive till he was older at the smaller school. They go get Dubs, who is also, I think, a little bit older, but very productive from younger ages. We see that, like, age-adjusted production I always love to talk about, where produce in college at a young age and through his later ages, multiple breakout seasons. Looks like the type of player that could come in and immediately be essentially more productive and outshine the earlier drafted wide receiver for the Packers. We know it's a huge need, but he's the, obviously it's a cheap bet on that, but he's the guy that I think could surprise the most.
Okay. Romeo Dubs. I know Dave likes him as well. Do you think the rookie quarterbacks or tight ends matter for fantasy this season?
I mean, certainly the rookie quarterbacks could. They all have rushing profiles. The landing, the draft capital was incredibly surprising, right? But the landing spots for everyone other than Malik Willis are really great for this year. Malik Willis, it might not be until 2023, but Ridder can definitely play in Atlanta. Howell can definitely play in Washington. Corral can definitely play in Carolina. These guys are backing up, you know, Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, and Marcus Mariota. Those are not quarterbacks that are necessarily going to keep them off the field. These are not teams that are expected to be in the playoff hunt necessarily. So especially down the stretch, if these teams are out of it, they want to see what they have in these three quarterbacks. All of them offer some mobility. I mean, I definitely think I'm probably not drafting them in redraft, but I definitely think they can come into the mix. Tight end's a little bit trickier, but I do really like Trey McBride. It's just tough behind Ertz, and really none of the other rookie tight ends, would I say, matter for redraft. No, I don't think so right now.
The one I think just to keep an eye on, and it's going to take probably an injury, is Dulcich, because, you know, he could, I don't think, beat out Albert O, but, you know, you are talking about a guy that, you know, a lot of potential, has to prove it. And, you know, the Broncos are very high on him, you know, players to coaches. But Dulcich, you know, for me, was right there with McBride. And landing spot wasn't the most ideal, but, you know, he could clearly have a role if Alberto struggled.
Okay, we have another special guest joining us. It's Dave Richard. And he's at a different...
Hooray! I finally found a place where I can connect and hopefully not disconnect.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. Well, welcome back, Dave. We're going to do some debates now involving rookies. I want to let Ben go last here. Let him kind of see how the
because they hear
looks.
Us so little that they need to.
Right. Well, I don't want to put him on the spot here. I want him. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't feel good. And then if Dave and Jamie
maybe
agree,
he
he'll just
paid
jump
attention
in.
To the NFL in the last 2 months. Maybe that's what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I sure. think that's what
but
I was.
You're
assuming.
Worried about putting him on the spot.
Yeah,
Dave, you should walk around the office while you're doing the show, and Ben can see all the changes.
Okay,
it looks the same right now.
Disconnect again.
Yeah, no, we got you.
I'm feeling like even if I move, I'm gonna disconnect. I want to stay on.
Well, you sound great. It's absolutely perfect. Okay, debates: Breece Hall or Ezekiel Elliott. Breece Hall or Ezekiel Elliott. Dave.
Oh, he disconnected.
You gotta be kidding me.
Didn't hear
you gotta be kidding me.
Well, it's good to see your face, dude.
All right. JB, Breece Hall or Ezekiel Elliott?
I'll take my chances with Breece Hall. You know, I think you look at Zeke and what we saw last year was a struggle. I don't know how much of it obviously was the knee, but, you know, you couldn't watch the Cowboys and see Tony Pollard touch the ball and Ezekiel Elliott touch the ball and not understand what the Cowboys were doing and not giving Pollard more chances. And so while Hall, I think, will share with Michael Carter to whatever extent it's going to be, I think he will prove to be the better talent, and I will take my chances with the younger player at this point. I feel like Ezekiel Elliott is an injury away from being Todd Gurley, and we don't hear from him again.
Yikes. Ben, what do you think, Zeke or Breece?
Pretty much completely agree. Breece Hall's a really good prospect. My note on Zeke about would be sort of a word of caution for people assuming that last year's split with Pollard might be the same. I've heard a lot of like, well, we know they're going to play him. They had him on the hook for a $30 million cap hit for this year. They kind of had to play him last year. One of the things I've suggested in a lot of the stuff that I've talked about with this is if they kept him playing and he was ever bounced back and was decent at any point, maybe they could have tried to move that cap at this offseason. It would have been incredibly hard, but maybe they could have tried to send it with a pick and get that off the books this offseason. Next offseason is like a clear cut for Ezekiel Elliott. There's almost no chance they will keep him. They finally get a cuttable year in the contract, and his cap hits is way too much for what they've gotten out of him over the last few years. So this is a year where I think actually we could see a changing of the guard. If he's not good halfway through, the Cowboys are basically going to be like, look, it's a sunk cost at this point. We need to go with Pollard. We need to try to win games. I think last year's, you know, Zeke keeps getting all that work is not likely to carry over to this year. And he's the, you know, the possibility in the middle of this season of no longer being the starting running back, not even getting touches, on top of the fact that he just hasn't been very healthy or very good the last few years.
I think the one saving grace for him last year, which will probably be the same thing this year, he was fantastic as a pass blocker. And, yeah, you know, proved to do a nice job in the passing game as well. You know, when they went through the stretch of losing Michael Gallup, and I think Cooper was a little bit banged up as well, he stepped up and did a nice job. There was a couple games where he had, you know, 5+ catches in there. And so that saved him a little bit. So maybe we see more of, okay, third down back, maybe Pollard a little bit more on first and second down. So the role is changing for both of them. If he struggles in pass protection, he may not be on the field. Mm-hmm.
All right, next up we have Ken Walker versus essentially a rookie, Travis Etienne. Walker or Etienne, Jamie?
I'll take Etienne, you know, just based on James Robinson not being 100% right now. Now, once we find out Chris Carson status and James Robinson status, I'll probably have a different answer on this, potentially. But, you know, I think if Etienne was in this, you know, if we're drafting, you know, NFL teams are drafting and certainly fantasy managers are drafting, I would take Etienne over Walker in both cases. You know, I just think, you know, the profile for him as a pass catcher, you know, what he should be able to still do as a rusher. He's a more dynamic player, in my opinion. So, I know the situation might seem a little dicey with Jacksonville, but, you know, the offensive line should be better. The coaching should be better. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence is better. I feel a little bit better about Travis Etienne's status right now if Robinson's not ready to go week one.
Yeah, I agree. Especially on the concern over Robinson. He's way further behind in his rehab. Etienne obviously gets hurt in the offseason. Etienne, great prospect, went one pick behind Najee Harris in the real draft last year. I think he's better than Najee Harris. I don't think you'd be getting him where you're getting him in drafts if he plays basically any snaps last year. If we see him on the field at all, you get this immediate bump in value. You get the Javonte Williams has bumped just because he flashed a little bit, right? Najee's not as apples to apples comparison because he got all the work, but Javonte, I think, is a better example of where you're getting a discount on ETN right now based on the type of player he is. I still think Kenneth Walker's really good. But you have a bad offenses on both sides, but you have a worse profile in terms of not necessarily having the pass catching and all that. Etienne playing with Trevor Lawrence catching pass is going to be pretty nice little setup there with his college quarterback. So I like Etienne by quite a ways.
Drake London or Darnell Mooney? Drake London or Darnell Mooney, Jamie?
I'll take Mooney, you know, just looking at what he's done already and his opportunity. I mean, you know, we talk about both these guys having a great opportunity, but London still has to contend with Kyle Pitts, who's a monster. And, you know, you look at this Bears offense, I mean, if Mooney could lead the NFL in targets, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch. You know, I mean, it would take the Bears having to change some of their philosophy, but, you know, who knows what Luke Getsy wants to do with that team, that offense at least. And so, I'm excited about Darnell Mooney this year. I think he's got a big opportunity in front of him, and I hope he takes advantage of it.
Gretchy?
I'm taking London on this one. I like Mooney, but that's a really rough offense, right? And I think it's going to be a problem for their ability to score points. I think Mooney's going to get all the work he can get, and he's been very good the last couple of years. And I believe in Justin Fields, but the Bears have not done any favors to try to help Justin Fields improve in year two. The way that I would put it is that Fields has to improve a ton just to not look terrible, basically, to be able to carry. He has to be ready to carry the offense this year. He wasn't last year, and I think it's really tough to ask him to be ready to do that. That, again, would take a ton of improvement. He's going to have to be that type of quarterback that can just put everyone on his back. If not, this is going to be a really bad offense, which is fine for Mooney's targets and everything, but I mean, I feel better even, frankly, about Atlanta's offense, the situation London's going into. And I think London, I mean, you just has the higher ceiling. You want the rookie kind of uncertainty, has the potential to come out and just be an absolute smash. We haven't seen him at the NFL level yet, but there is that possibility. Mooney kind of doesn't really profile to me as a guy who has, you know, the absolute boom ceiling. But he's interesting for sure.
Okay, last one, Christian Watson or Alan Lazard. And I'll let Ben go first this time. Give me a Packers receiver, Christian Watson or Alan Lazard.
I mean, I go with the rookie on these every time. I mean, again, Alan Lazard, not the huge ceiling, not even the ceiling that Darnell Mooney has, obviously. I mean, pretty clearly, I think, for anyone who's paying attention. And then you have Christian Watson coming in. I talked about his profile not being very exciting, but he has the size, he has the speed, he has the athleticism. You become Aaron Rodgers' preferred go-to target in the red zone pretty early in your career, your ceiling is big. And I'm taking him on ceiling all day.
I'll go back to, you know, you asked the earlier question. I think it was Kenny Gall there, Jameson Williams, right? Yeah. I think it just comes down to what your team needs at that point. You know, so if you're not planning on playing Alan Lazard, which I hope a lot of people don't draft planning to play Alan Lazard, then you take Christian Watson. You know, but if you go RB heavy, or, you know, you don't prioritize receiver and you need someone to get you through the first few weeks of the season, Alan Lazard's going to be a much better fantasy option than Christian Watson is, because it could take a while for Watson. And we know Rodgers and rookie receivers don't necessarily vibe right away. When they hit big, but it's usually year two. And so, you know, with Romeo Dubs and Watson and how this all works with Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb, the corpse of Randall Cobb, you know, Lazard may be the most reliable guy there for Rodgers, and that might be something that you have to just hang your hat on. And so while he doesn't necessarily have the ceiling that Watson has by far, the floor might be a little bit safer. So if you just need to get that competent third fantasy receiver that's going to, you know, hopefully just supplement what should be a great roster, then that's the route you go. But if you want to take a chance on who has the most upside, especially as a bench receiver, I'm taking, you know, Watson by far.
And for those of you who missed it earlier, when Dave tried to come back on, it's pretty funny. And here are some of the comments. Looks like Dave is broadcasting from the basement of an art gallery. Dave filming from a calculator. Dave filming from a Nintendo DS. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. The calculator one is really got me. Ben, thank you for coming on, my man.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
I was going to tell Dave, I saw a note from him the other day come across my Twitter timeline, or a little video, that he was calling for Fitzpatrick to Seattle. He has asked me what quarterback I want. I mean, at least that would be fun. That's who I want in Seattle. I want Fitzpatrick starting.
Yeah, forgot about him a little bit there. It would be nice. You know,
that was the first I'd even heard of that or thought of that, but I'm usually rooting for Fitzpatrick to every situation every offseason. So when I saw it from Dave, I was like, perfect. Love that.
How awesome was the draft video of all the guys wearing the Fitzpatrick jerseys?
That was amazing. Yeah. I was like, that he's played so many places, but I was still shocked. I was like, man, he's really played on all those teams. That's a lot of Fitzpatrick jerseys.
Adam, can you name all the teams Ryan Fitzpatrick has played on?
I mean, definitely not, but I'll say Washington. Did I get it?
He did play a game for them, yes.
Yeah, Washington, Miami, Tampa. I'm not even going to, I don't even want to embarrass myself. But
who paid him?
Who paid him? Chicago?
Oh, this is pathetic.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. Who
Buffalo?
Was it? Buffalo, yeah, I should have gotten that one.
The Jets.
All right, before this goes, the Jets. Before this goes
Houston,
on.
Tennessee, Rams, yeah. Bengals.
Rams, I don't remember him on the Rams.
That was like early career.
All right, Tennessee for sure. Okay, well, anyway, thank you for that. That's worse than one of my outros. For Ben Gretsch and a little bit of Dave, you know what? Combined, Dave and Ben, we're here for a full episode. For Dave and Ben and Jamie, I'm Adam. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.